happy to be here this morning. Yes. Yeah. Amen. You can think of better places to be, right? Nope. Me neither. Can I think of anything any better? Thought I'd just go to church today. Hallelujah. We was talking about this over the last several weeks. We've been talking about, you know, we talked about feelings. They're real. They just can't be authoritative. Amen. And we talked about what we need to do is take authority over the feelings. Amen. Last week, we spoke about the spirit, didn't we? We talked about the spirit of obsession, oppression, and possession. Amen. We began to understand that what we need to do is we need to change. And we need to change and we need to push in the right direction. It doesn't matter what the enemy thinks he has. He ain't got nothing. Amen. He only has what we allow. And sometimes what we do is we just kind of lean towards allowing him to have some authority or a crack, if you will. And, you know, and all of a sudden what happens, he sneaks in. He can't come up and just knock on the door because he's a lying thief. Amen? So he sneaks in the back door like he's supposed to. It says, you know, roaming around, finding whom he may devour. And so all of a sudden we know that he can't devour us, but all of a sudden the enemy can sneak in through all kinds of different oppressions. Amen? It's not easy when you see a friend or a loved one or a family member going through oppression, but what we begin to understand, those feelings are real. But we got to begin to pray for them to understand that they cannot be authoritative. This leads us into the message from the last 2 weeks into the third part of this, which today, nothing changes without change. Nothing changes without change. Amen? Amen. So, you know, one of the things is that we'll talk about Albert Einstein's famous quote here in just a minute, but so often what happens, we go around the same tree, hit our head on the same branch, get the exact same knot, and begin to wonder, why me? All right, I'm guilty of it. I've been guilty of that in my life, and I think sometimes what we've got to learn to do is look for the change and then make the change. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to share with you out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you want to go over with me. I'm going to share with you verses 1 through 8. When you're there, say amen. They got it on the board? That guy's a quick, ain't they? All right, beginning of verse number 1, says, to everything there is a season and a time to... Listen, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to loose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time to war and a time of peace. This is probably one of the most quoted scriptures when it comes to dealing with change that you'll hear from any pulpit, and including from the from the government offices when they are looking to change something, they begin to misquote this very scripture. Understand that nothing changes if nothing changes. And the question that I want to pose to you today and at the end, are you ready to change? Yes. All right, all three of you. Now the rest of you get you on board, all right? So you'll be ready to change too by the end of the day. So we should never come in and go out the same, right? So that's exactly what it is all about. We want change. But guess what? We cannot stand change. Amen. We like to be right where we're at, comfortable without change. Change is challenging, and we'll share that this morning. Someone once said, change is inevitable. Now listen to this. But misery is optional. All right? So everybody know what Mama always said, right? Misery just loves company. Yet Mom never told you that? Mine told me that all the time. I don't know what she really meant, though. I thought that's why she meant I was hanging out with her. All right? But, yeah, but I didn't say it around her. She'd backhand me. But anyway, when you look at this, listen to this quote again. It says, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable, but misery is optional. Amen? Amen? So this morning, I just want to share with you before we ever got in the pulpit this morning to preach the gospel, all kinds of things have been happening. So there's a sister that was having a health issue, and she couldn't raise her arm, and we went and prayed in the name of Jesus, and her arm's up. She said, praise the Lord. Okay, the Lord healed her. We have people that came in that was oppressed. They went out, and they was on fire for God again. They was not a person who didn't know what was not going on. They knew they was being oppressed, but the enemy is a liar. So we begin to understand what the enemy does is he comes in, he sneaks in because he's a coward, and he begins to set up camp, and we begin to feed the enemy instead of the spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to take authority over the enemy this morning. You all in with that? Amen. Let's just go all the way in. Some people imagine that it is possible to live without a life without any change. I know people that says, I'm just comfortable the way I am. Okay, I'm comfortable. I like it where I'm at. I don't need no challenges. Let me tell you something. He's already got you. All right, because if you're comfortable and you're not under attack, the enemy's probably already ensnared you anyway. What we need to learn to do is understand this. When you begin to take territory back for your friends and your family, the people that God's put in your crosshairs of life, the truth is this. The enemy's not going to just sit back and let you do that. Amen. He's going to attack your loved ones. He's going to attack your friends. He's going to attack your marriage. He's going to attack your finances. That's who the enemy is. He's the counterfeit to truth. He's the liar of truth. He's the one that opposes you. He's the one that comes against you. Everybody say, I've been there. Amen. We really have. And so we can't live a life without change. But we can no more live and not change than we can jump off of the top of a building and not feel the impact of gravity. Okay, we're going to change either willingly or unwillingly. With time, we must change. Therefore, to live is to experience change. To live is to experience change. And any thought that we can avoid change is really, truly just a pure illusion for you and I. Because change has to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Again, back up here, change is inevitable. Misery is optional. Right on? Now, let's talk about, I wrote down three things here, Al, the many things I could put down that would resonate with all of us. Women, they have rights today, just like men, because something had to change. Okay, something had to change. Okay, listen to this. A black man can sit in the front of a city bus because something had to change. Listen to this. People no longer die of epidemic numbers from polio and influenza and smallpox because something had to change. You see the difference? That we're talking about the black man sitting in the front. We talk about the woman having some rights. We talk about us not all dying of stuff that was so simple to fix because something changed. Now, we just said this. Everybody say, I don't like change. Now, let's be honest with you. Who don't like changing here? Raise your hand. If your hands ain't up, you probably need to put it up, all right? Because none of us like change, all right? But I want you to know you're off the hook because it's natural for us not to like change. And so if nothing changes, listen, then nothing changes. Shannon said, I got this on my wall at work. I see I preached a sermon on this back in 2013. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Okay, nothing changes if nothing changes. I can try to resist the change and stay the way I am. This is on the board for you, right? Not up there yet? It is? Okay, I can try to resist the change and stay the way I am, or release my resistance to change. I didn't put it all up there for you, did I? Only half of it. I want you to get the first part. I can try to resist change and stay the way I am. And sometimes that's where we are. We'll cross our arms. We'll say, I ain't changing. I don't care. Listen, that's the enemy coming against us. Or I will release my resistance. You can't release nobody else's. Release yours. Okay, release my resistance to change. Like a hot air balloon, when it goes up, when you remove the weight of the sandbags, it's holding it down. The same thing happens to you and I. Once we take the weight of the world off of us, once we quit trying to and say, I've had all I can take, and God, I release them or that or this to you, all of a sudden, whew, it just takes off. You know what I'm talking about? It's amazing when we release it and allow God to begin to do what only God can do. In Hebrews chapter 12, listen to this. I'm going to give you part of this scripture now and the rest of it later. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. So we begin to look at this weight. In other words, there's some stuff that's holding your hot air balloon down. And you got to begin to release the hot air balloon. So I'm trying to draw something visual for us, because when we can see the hot air balloon, when we begin to see what is causing the resistance, we begin to see the waste that's inside of the basket. When we begin to see that, and we know we can't take off, we can't go no higher, we can't be any more blessed, we can't be healed, we can't be redeemed, we can't be set free, we can't do it, we begin to look at the obstacles to our faith and we begin to launch them out of the basket. We begin to pull the weights out, and then all of a sudden you begin to take off to a higher and a new level. Can you say amen? Amen. So my question is, are you ready for a new level? Are you ready for a new level here at my church today? You see, nothing changes without change, and if I keep doing what I've been doing, I'll keep getting what I've always got, and I will keep feeling what I've always felt, and we begin to understand nothing changes if nothing changes. I've got to ask you this morning, are you really ready for some change this morning? Are you really ready for some change? 3 weeks we have prepared ourselves and got to this place. I believe some of us here this morning might be ready for some change in our lives. We're ready to say enough is enough. I can see the hot air balloon. I can see that me as being spiritually, and I'm about to launch some junk up out of my basket, amen. I'm about to cut the strings of the weight off. Whatever's been holding me back, whether it's been 10 years, 5 years, or 5 weeks, I'm about to cut it off, and I'm going to say no more. I am launching my balloon. I am launching today. Albert Einstein said it the best, the definition of insanity, and what we call it, if you're hillbilly like some of us, we call it crazy. All right, the definition of insanity or the definition of crazy is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It's on the board for you. So if you don't know this, I want to encourage you to write it down. Because this is why, with no offense intended, when you come and ask me the same thing you asked me 10 years ago, I said, wait, did you cut the weight out of your basket? Did you cut the weight? Oh, same branch, same knot. I can dig it. I understand. I've been there, done that. And we all have the same struggles, or do we keep throwing the weight back in the basket and keep holding ourselves down? See, the truth is today, we're all here not by accidental but intentional, because God has a word for you and I. We understand being held down and held back. We got that. And, you know, sometimes we just love so much that we become the old enabler, which in turn allows us to be enabled. This quote right here is a life changer. It is a life changer. The definition of insanity or crazy is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It doesn't matter how many times you slice a tomato, it's still a tomato. It don't matter if you crush it or squash it, you puree it, you do whatever you want. When you're done, it's still tomato. You can put it in pizza, you can put it on pasta, it's still tomato. You can say tomato or you can say tomato, but it's still tomato. Amen? So we can't change those things when we know that they're there. We got to begin to understand, I know where I want to go, and I'm going to change. You can't change anybody else. Unfortunately, we can't change your kids, but we try, right? Amen. Sometimes we try a little too hard, and parents will come and say, Pastor, I'm having this problem. I said, won't you leave them alone? Now, that's the last thing I want to hear, all right? I know all about it. Let God deal with them. Surrender them. That'll mess them up. And that'll mess them completely up, because God will hijack them. I know yesterday I'm praying for my newest grandson, and as I'm in there, and we're in the NIC unit up at the Riverside, I can see a lot of craziness going on there, but when I grabbed his little foot and I began to pray for him, I began to take authority over anything that the enemy's trying to do against my grandson. Can you say amen? Amen? So all of a sudden, what we begin to see is we begin to see God working on my son and my daughter-in-law. So I know it's difficult, but I said, son, this is difficult, isn't it? And he said, yes, Dad, this is hard. And I said, praise God. Because God is in the good and the bad. He's got you all the way. So you begin to think about this. We got to surrender. It's crazy to think I can direct the path of that child. Can't. But if I surrender him to God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. We have to understand here today that nothing is going to change in our lives unless something changes in our lives. Nothing changes. Absolutely nothing changes without change. Woodrow Wilson, he gave a quote too. You want to hear this one? Is it up here, I think? Look at that one. Tell me that ain't the truth. Some of you mad at me right now. I'm talking about change. You say, what you got to preach about that change for? What's wrong with him? But listen, he gave a very wise warning to all of us who like change and don't like change or tries to implement change. If you want to make enemies, try to change something. Amen? So what happens is, and we talk about this in pastors' meetings all the time. This is true enough in other churches. We don't have it here. Praise God, y'all holy. All right? But they said, man, you changed the collar of carpet. He said, it caused a church split. I said, that's why we ain't got no carpet. Amen. He said, you changed the collar of the drapes. It caused a church split. I said, that's why we ain't got no drapes. Amen. You begin to understand the enemy looks to lay in stuff and in circumstances where he can begin to landmine you. He begins to cut you out. He begins to do what only he can. But if you want to make enemies, try to change something. That's a fact, isn't it? You know what? Try to change you. See what happens. Everybody else say, oh, look at you, girl. Whew. That's the best I've seen you look in years. And somebody's in the inner court. Remember, Judas had to be in the inner court to be able to kiss Jesus. Oh, you look like hell's all over you. Satan's got a hold of you. He's on you. He's drugged you in there. You need Jesus, but you got Jesus. So who's talking to you? Is it the enemy? The enemy will use your friends, your family. They'll become your adversary. Somebody's got to hold you back and hold you down so you can't launch the weights out of your air balloon, so you can't begin to go high, and you can't begin to do what God's called you to do. Don't you know you have an adversary? Yeah, remember, we got one. I want to share something with you here. You know, I'm very wise. I've got a lot of wisdom just because I'm old. Amen. Some of you old people would be saying, hey, amen. Yeah, but you're not. You catch up with me. Listen to this. I heard wisdom. I love to teach because I'm taught. Okay, I love to preach because you preach back to me. I love to explain because you explain back to me. So I love to have this dialogue and this conversation. Change can be, listen to this. Change can be very threatening. Why? Because change will bring with it a level of uncertainty. It will bring a level of uncertainty. Well, this is how I've always been. This is how I like it. My mom was like this, and my grandma was like that. Well, go ahead and turn around and look at them. You satisfied? Amen. Are they going to a new level? Are they leading in the way, right way? Let me keep going. I talked about grandma. I didn't mean to throw her in there. Because of the uncertainty, people develop an attitude or a spirit of fear. Because, listen now, because of that uncertainty that we're talking about, people begin to develop a spirit of fear because of uncertainty. But when you're uncertain, one thing that we can be certain about is who? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's in the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So he knows it was going to come, right? Whew! He said for us to be weak and wishy-washy, sorrowful. Just go ahead and take anything that comes down the pike because you ain't going to ever amount to nothing anyway. You losing no good for rotten mule-faced scumbag. Ain't that what the enemy told you? You addicted, never get over it. You alcoholic will never be sober. And it goes on and on how the enemy's a liar. You're sick and afflicted in body with cancer or heart disease, and you can't come back. The enemy's a liar. And Timothy pins it. God hadn't given us no spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So all of a sudden, when you walk into some place and you begin to go where open-heart surgery is getting ready to happen, Randy Green, and when we walk in there, people begin to say, man, there's something about you. I've been commanded with a power from on high to come in and tell you, be healed in the name of Jesus and stand up and walk in his name. Wow, God loves us that much, yeah? Pretty awesome, isn't it? Well, the adversary says, oh, well, go ahead then. You got all that power. I'm going to leave you alone. No, he's going to say, oh, you think you got power? Listen to me. This is that wise moment I just had. We was talking about it again this morning. And I know I never asked Kelly if she minds me sharing it, but I'm going to share it anyway. I'll beg forgiveness later. But we talk about fearful. And we was talking about fearful in Bible study on Wednesday. And here's the thing. She says, you know what I learned about fearful? She says that the devil's always sitting on my shoulder giving me because in fearful is earful. So that no matter how the devil works, when God's trying to work on me, the enemy's sitting on my shoulder, whispered in my ear, full, the opposite of what God says. That's wisdom, isn't it? Because earful, the devil tries to give us an earful of what he wants us to hear. Therefore, we should not be fearful of change. Change can be good. Change can be exactly what we need. And change can change something, amen? And what we need is change. It happens with individuals, it happens with marriages, it happens with businesses and organizations, and unfortunately, it happens with some churches. Even the people of Christ's day. We're in good company here, right? The people of Christ's day who were looking for and expecting the promised Messiah that was promised to them. They didn't accept him, and when he came because he didn't come the way they expected, they rejected him. They was waiting on him, they was expecting him, and he didn't come the way they expected him to come, so they said, well, that can't be the way it's supposed to be because that's not how I envisioned it, so I'm going to reject him. I want to help crucify him and beat him and spit upon him and pierce him. Wow. How does the enemy use us that way? It's not how we expected it. And we was talking about this earlier this week. We began to understand how we reject Christ when God is trying to show us a way to change. But we want it so bad for our kids, our spouses, our co-workers, our whoever's, that we try to be their God. And God can't work because they can't hear him. They can only hear us giving him and them an earful. As a result, they rejected Christ and missed out on the greatest opportunity for real change of their time. Real change that has today changed the world forever. One of the greatest motivations for serving God is because it changes you. Is it on the board for you? Check this out. One of the greatest motivations for serving God. The greatest motivation that I've ever had in my life to serve God is because it changes me. I serve God. I talk about God, preach about God, teach about God because it changes me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, you're going to hear this the rest of the day. If any man or woman right here, listen to this. Hallelujah. Are you in Christ? Watch out, devil. They've been endued with power on high. See, when you begin to recognize the weapons that God has given you, when you begin to understand that God has got you full of power, when you begin to understand no matter what the enemy says, no matter what he does, no weapon formed against you, your family, your friends, and you know what? You can walk right into that NIC unit and you can say, devil, I'll tell you what right now. You take all your weapons and go back to hell where you come from because you ain't laying no hand on my grandkid. Or you can walk in there and say, oh, devil loves that stuff, don't he? You begin to speak to it in the name of Jesus. You begin to call in the name of Jesus, and it says when you release the name of Jesus, it says he unleashes everything in heaven for you and I. Amen. Because we're his. And when we begin to call on the name of Jesus, he begins to do what only he can do. It says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ here, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. All things are new. But let me tell you something you can't do. It says God can't be mocked and he won't be fooled and he can't be. So we can say we accept Christ, but we can't live like hell no more. It don't mean you got to be perfect. What it means, you got to be going forward, making changes and being a different you. And the way you become a different you is by allowing God to come in and set up resident inside of you and begin to do what you can't do anyway. And we begin to surrender to our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, I want to read it again. You're going to hear it a lot. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The simple interpretation of this scripture equals change. It equals change. I don't have to stay the way I am. I don't have to be the person I am. I don't have to be the warrior that I am every day. I don't even have to have someone to keep me despondent all the time. I'm going to chuck those bags out of my hot air balloon. I don't have to be someone who sees the gray skies all the time because I'm going to begin to look for the blue ones. I don't have to be bound up in sin no more, whether you are or I'm not. I don't have to be destroyed by my lack of self-esteem. I don't have to be cut down, knocked down, and counted out no more. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to be counted. Therefore, there's a commandment. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Things can change. It can be different. Imagine life differently today than when we came in. If you come in today and you feel that you are endued with power from the Word of God and you walk out of here, things can begin to change. Seriously, think about it. Think about what we're talking about. Imagine your life without the stuff that's in it right now, keeping you from being happy right now, keeping you from going forward right now. Imagine for a moment what it would be like if you got out of bed every morning and you was truly happy and you was joyous and you was ready to face your day. Imagine for just a minute what it would be like to go through the entire day without feeling depressed or angry or jealous or unloved. Think about it. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Everybody say feelings. They're real. They cannot be authoritative because it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah. So you know what, feelings? I take authority over you in the name of Jesus today. Did you know that this verse of Scripture is talking, what it's talking about here is the effect of change that happens in a person's life when they become born again? It's talking about, I have received Christ and all things are new. Now everybody else is going to look at you that didn't receive Christ and begin to say, well, you're nagging me. I don't believe the way you believe. I don't think the way you think. Well, of course not. Because if you ain't serving my Savior, you are serving Satan. Am I right? Yes. And then it says, we can't serve two masters. It says both good and bad can't come out of the same mouth. It begins to talk about this change when Jesus shows up in our lives through this message, this salvation message that we see. See, you see, to be in Christ is to be buried with him. It says to be in Christ means we're grafted inside. It means that we're dead to self. When I got this years ago, I began to say, oh, my. Oh, my. You begin to think about this. We look at the cross and we empty the cross of his power for salvation when we think that we can do anything about it anyway. We don't have it unless it dwells inside of us. Then it's the Spirit of a living God that can allow us to do all things. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, wow. There is a change that happens in a person's life when they get saved. Amen. You know the lies that you live by, Lisa? John, do you know the lies you lived by before you met Jesus? Jessica, do you remember? Oh, you remember? Shannon, do you remember? I remember. I remember. He made me think that I wasn't worth living. He made me think, kill yourself. You'll never amount to anything. And then he would send people in my inner court to give me the kiss of death and say, go ahead, because you ain't going to ever amount to the thing anyway. And then when that didn't work, he sent it through my father's lips, and my earthly father said, you'll never amount to it. You're no good, and you're worthless. Liar. All of a sudden, I came to the altar one day, and I began to understand that I needed to be dead so I could be alive. I began to understand that the truth was in the Word of God, and I began to look into the truth, and I began to be renewed. But I began to look at this. Oh, to be alive is to die. And to be buried in Christ, there is a change that happens when we get saved. They don't act the way they used to act. They don't talk the way they used to talk. They don't go where they used to go. They don't feel the way they used to feel. I don't want to do what I used to do no more. I don't desire that. Something changes. Everybody say something changes. I'll tell you what it is. It's easy. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God that is in your life. So all of a sudden you begin to think about a suicide or harming or cutting your body or whatever it might be that you struggle with. You think how bad it is. Let me tell you, you're talking to a piece of the triune God that lives inside of you. You begin to think when oppression sets in, oppression is real, but it can no longer be authoritative because you begin to call on side of the living spirit that lives inside of you and you begin to command it with the power and the love of Christ to rise up. When I can't, he can. Give him a hand clap of praise today. You see, God is never going to leave someone right where he finds them. So if you've met someone, I've met plenty of guys in prison, plenty of guys in jail, plenty of people on the streets, plenty of people at the altar here in Springfield, plenty of people on the altar when I preach in Georgia or Kentucky. It doesn't matter. They met Jesus. But they leave and they think they're the same old people. That's not how it works. When you accept Jesus, he's going to bless you. He's going to mess you up. He's going to encourage you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to heal you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to stand beside you. He's going to help you do everything that you could never do and allow you to get out of that bed every morning. And all of hell is coming against you and breaking loose. And you stand up and say, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Yes. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. You begin to understand that when he lives in you and you begin to release the power of a living God that lives inside of you, you begin to make a direct link to the spirit of a living God inside of you. You allow him to do what only he can do. And listen, this scares the enemy. Something changes. Everybody say something changes.
Something changes.
I remember the darkness that surrounded my life before I was saved and before I met Christ. I remember the fear. I remember the despondency. I remember the shame. I remember something else that I really never forgot. I remembered the change. The enemy has given me an earful of fearful. He was sitting on my shoulder and lying to me, intimidating me. And as I began to understand, I'll never forget that old lady that stood up on that Sunday night with about 15 people in church, and she turned around this young guy, me, and she pointed right at me, and she said, God is not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to progress. He's not looking for perfection, progression, move forward. If I would have never got that word, I wouldn't be here today. You hear me? I'm telling you this, it's worth the fight. It is worth the fight. It's worth standing up. It's worth moving forward. Don't throw in the towel. Don't stay the same. Go forward. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
It is definitely, it is worth it. It is definitely worth it. And this immediate change took place in my life that very night. That very night, I was changed. I came to the altar, all that stuff, fearful, despondent, full of shame and brokenness, felt like I was a nothing, never amount to nothing, kill myself, get rid of me. I don't matter. Who cares? Now listen, if you've never been there, you don't understand it. But when you've been to the bottom of brokenness and there's only one way up and you meet Jesus, you can't do nothing but praise his holy name.
Amen.
Do you have a praise shut up in you this morning?
Amen.
Then praise him.
Amen.
He's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Let you know, one of the problems I have is that earful. I believe before I got saved, it really ain't that much wrong with me anyway. I know how broken I was before I got there. Then once I got there, earful, hey, man, he began to tell me, you all right, man. Look at them guys crazy back here, man. They don't even know you. They crying. They weeping. What are they crying about you for? First thing I said, why am I crying? I ain't no crier. But tears were like a waterfall coming from my face when I met Jesus. I didn't think nothing was wrong with me. But I have to admit, having realized the change that the Lord did in my life, there was a whole lot more wrong with me than I ever cared to admit. I remember something I heard years ago. Has anybody ever listened to Paul Harvey? You used to listen to Paul too? He always seemed to have those little inklings of wisdom, didn't he? But they asked Paul Harvey when he got saved, he said, hey, Paul, how you feel now that you're saved? He said, man, I feel clean. I said, clean? That's how I felt. I came up here as filthy and as rotten and as dirty and as dead and as full of decay as I could. And the problem with the devil on this side is saying, you really don't need that. That's all fake and crazy anyway. You're still the same. I got to get cleaned up so I can go to church. I got to take a bath. He said, you come like you are. He said, because you take a bath to get cleaned up. See the difference? The devil wants to tell you, just wait just a little bit longer. It'll give me another chance to kill you. Give me one more chance to wipe you out. It's crazy to think like that. What did he say? It's crazy to do the same thing. And Einstein said, expect a different result. It's the same thing. Clean. It is craziness to continue to do the same thing and think something different is going to happen. I've heard people say this all the time. I'm going to change, but nothing changes in their life. They're exactly the same. If you truly want real, genuine change in your life, why don't you change something here today? Don't come in here and ever go out the same again, because the enemy wants to destroy you. When you make a decision to start walking with God, today is a greater way to start walking today than tomorrow. Today is the way to go. Why don't we just make a decision today to talk to God before we talk to anyone else about the problems of our lives? There's a saying that says prayer changes things. Can I just say this to you? It's just silly to pray and not expect change, because God will change, because he's the change agent. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It just needs to be honest and sincere.
Amen.
I'm sure that most of us know this already, but If you're struggling with something in your life that is beyond your control, you're probably right where you need to be at. I want you to know, though, that prayer can change the situation that you find yourself in this morning. It doesn't have to be a strong or long or rehearsed prayer. That's not what he's looking for. It just needs to simply come out of your heart and say, God, I'm broken and I need you and I can't do it no more. When I came to that altar 20-some years ago, I was that person that said, I can't do it no more. God, I've tried everything. I don't even know what to do, and I don't even think you're real. And he said, I'll show you real. And he moved in, and he showed me real. And 20-some years later today, he's still working on me.
Amen.
But I'm still in that progress going forward. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, listen, God's talking to someone. God's kicking someone's guts out today, as we call it down south. It's okay. There's a knot in your gut, and you can't hardly swallow. Because he's telling you today is the day of change. He's telling you today, I will change things for you. You've come to me, and here I go. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says to do this. What's it say? Be boastful, proud, arrogant, think you got it all together. Be rude and despondent and think, you know what, I'll just do things my way. It's always worked out to the best for me anyway. No, it says, humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he cares about you. He cared about me when I thought nobody else did. He loved me when I was unlovable. He walked to me instead of away from me. I learned something that day. Change must happen in life. For to live is to grow, and to grow is to change. I want to repeat it. Change must happen in life. For to live is to grow, and to grow is to change. Isaiah 61 and 3 says this, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise of the spirit of heaviness, and they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Amen.
When you begin to look at this scripture and it begins to tell you who you are, not what the enemy lies about, God wants to take your brokenness and put you together brand new today. But we have to realize here today that nothing changes if nothing changes. And then it takes us into some of my favorite scripture. I think I got it on the board. Maybe not, but look it up if not. Paul pens this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Something has to change. And in Romans 12, 2, this scripture has spoke to me for years when I begin to really get this into my spirit. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this stinking, lying, cruel world. You hear me? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But then it says this, wow, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And once our minds are renewed, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We begin to understand there has to be a transformation. Everybody say transformation.
Transformation.
We got a God who's in the transformation business. Transformed. Listen to this. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform means to undergo a change in the structure. It's a genetic modification. It's a genetic modification. You can't do it anyway. All of a sudden, what's happened is, you know what you eat, what you eat is what you become, what you do is what you become, the way who you hang with is who you become. We know that, right? It takes a genetic modification. It takes God moving in and setting up residence so he can begin to change what only God can change. What God wants to do is to transform our lives today, and the way he transforms our lives is when we willingly allow him to come in and begin to shine his big old light on all of our dark spots and begin to allow him to be glorified through our failures, when we allow him to do what only he can. Are you ready to be transformed by the renewing of your mind today? It's a genetic modification. It's got to change the DNA of who you are. It's got to change who you've always been called, what everybody else has told you, how everybody else has spoke down to you, no matter what it is that everybody else has said and done. It's a genetic modification. And he is the genetic maker. He knew your DNA when you was in the womb. He knew your DNA before the time started. He knew you. A caterpillar is not a very beautiful creature. For our outreach ministry, Changing Lives Now, that's our symbol, is a caterpillar. It's not beautiful. It crawls around in the muck and mire on the ground, very vulnerable to predators, very ugly, actually. But at some point, its life is, it really goes under a transformation, a physical, mental transformation. That ugly caterpillar, that hairy, fuzzy, step on it, squish it, and slop goes everywhere bug. The transformation physically causes the genetic structure to change. I'm going to say it again. The transformation physically causes the genetic structure to change and produces wings of a multitude of colors that makes it possible for the new creature to fly. Amen. It looks prettier than ever before, but also there's a transformation that takes place in his mind. Before, it had to crawl, it was slow, it was ugly. I'm talking about you and I. And we was very vulnerable. When it was a caterpillar, it could do was crawl around that muck and mire because it didn't know any better. But after the transformation in the mind, that caterpillar begins to realize it can fly. He can rise above being stepped on. And he can maneuver from the predators that's after him to wipe him out. But if there hadn't been change, then nothing would have changed. So why the caterpillar? The caterpillar, you think about it, so much like us, the same genetics. We come through and into this world in the muck and mire of the world. We crawl around, try not to be devastated or devoured by the enemy, and then we meet Jesus. All of a sudden, we come up that chute just like the caterpillar does, and all of a sudden, we give birth to wings, beautiful, collar-flowing wings, the love of Christ. All of a sudden, we begin to see what God has orchestrated for us all this time. We are now born again. In closing, I want to share this with you. Think about it. The caterpillar and the butterfly, the hot air balloon and the weights. Look at it either way you want to. What's holding you down? What's holding you back? And what's keeping you from going up that stem? What's the enemy lied to you about? What's the predator tried to squash you with? I'm going to close with this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, this is woman too, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. As we stand over the house this morning, the praise and worship team comes back up. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a hard time up here because the Spirit of the living God is up here. And you can sit back, you can stay back, you can sit down. Good luck. Hope it works for you. Hope it works for you because it's tough up here. We're going to open this old altar up. It's an old piece of wood. That's all it is, but it's a great place to sacrifice. It's a great place to meet Jesus. It's a great place to be renewed. It's a great place to be recharged. And I just want to share with you this is something that we got to remember. Is I have people who've been saved here over 60 years ago said, I remember right here my tears pouring across that altar. And they said that was the change agent where Jesus met me. If you need any change today, if you need salvation, it's simple. It says believe in your heart and profess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He moves in and he does everything you can't do anyway. It's pretty simple. But don't let him set the enemy make you fearful and give you that earful that Kelly was talking about. You hear me? Today, when you're sitting in here, the enemy's trying to distract you. He's trying to say you ain't going to make it anyway. You might as well use again. You might as well drink again. You might as well cheat again. You might as well steal again. You might as well whatever again. Tell him to go back to hell where he came from because it's not your place. You begin to get him off of you and get him away from you. As long as you stay in that condition, you are always going to get the exact same results. But if you would just allow change to come to your life today, he will turn around your situation for you. Remember, nothing changes without change. Nothing changes without change. Make up in your mind today that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I must change. I got to be dead to sin. I must get alive in Christ. I was lost and I was found. I was hurt and I was healed. I was sad, but now I'm happy. I was out of my mind. But now I'm working on perfect peace. Hebrews 12:1, the rest of it. Let us throw off everything. As you throw it off, come run to this altar this morning. Go ahead and come on up. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Take that first step this morning. Go ahead and start the music, guys. Because change begins with the first step, and nothing changes without change. Who is it today that God's been talking to? This altar is open, and we simply want you to meet Jesus here. We want him to begin to do what only he can do. Come as you see fit.